Good to have a chance to talk to you guys. I'm not a public speaker. In fact, I tend to, over my lifetime, avoid it like the plague. So, we'll see how this goes. So, first of all, let's pray. Lord, I thank you for bringing us together this morning. Thank you for your goodness, your grace. And certainly that's the story of my life. And Lord, I pray that you'd let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Amen.
So I was born August 29th, 1950. What year were you, Dennis?
10 years later.
10 years later. And 4 years later, I had four brothers, believe it or not. Five of us in less than 4 years. So I came along like 10 or 11 months after my parents got married. And things got pretty wild pretty quick. God blessed me with Christian parents, grandparents. My mother's father was a Mennonite preacher, not the horse and buggy type, but a Mennonite preacher. Had churches, a number of places in the United States and also Canada. My mother was born in Manitoba, actually. I'm told that I could possibly claim Canadian citizenship if I wanted to. I've never looked into that, but anyway. I digress.
Good.
So godly influence there with my grandparents on my mother's side. My dad grew up on a farm in Oklahoma, little tiny German Mennonite town called Corn, Oklahoma. Originally, it was spelled K-O-R-N. And I'm told that during World War I, anything pertaining to Germany was frowned upon, so they changed the spelling to C-O-R-N at that point. My parents both Christians.
Amen.
And from my earliest age, going to church all the time. Mennonite church the first 7-8 years. My mother's reading Bible stories to us most every evening. So very thankful for that. So one evening, I must have been 6 or 7, my mother read us, something out of the Bible. So I became convicted at that age. My mother led me in the sinner's prayer, and I remember distinctly a huge relief was lifted off me. So, that's a distinct memory. When I was 8, we moved to a little town in southern Minnesota called Mountain Lake, Minnesota, a little Mennonite town. And my father took a job with a local farm implement manufacturing business. And it was my mother's uncle that ran that business. So he was a salesman. We were there 6 or 8 months. I had a wonderful time. I loved it there. But we moved to Colorado, and the story I got was that they decided that my dad was out of town too much, traveling salesman, and that wasn't working out. Later, I heard the rest of the story, you might say. The hot weather in Minnesota, hot and humid. My mother liked to be out in the yard, gardening and whatnot. And she would wear shorts and a halter top. this did not go well with the local Mennonite people. And so, so we became the center of attention in a real negative way in that town. And that was part of the reason they moved. So my parents had vacationed in Colorado, and they'd driven through Boulder, like so many people, loved it. And so they packed up and moved to Boulder, Colorado, no job, no nothing, just on faith. That's where we got established. And quite quickly, we became members over at Calvary Bible. And that was our church home and really the center of our lives in many ways. A typical Sunday would be get up in the morning, put on the Sunday best, go to Sunday school, then main service, come home, open the door, smell that wonderful casserole. Five boys, of course, it disappeared quickly. Never any leftovers. Then relax for a little while, and then before you know it, we were off to youth group. Then the main service, Sunday night service, which is pretty much a thing of the past. And then later on, choir practice after that night, after that, and get home after 9 and go to bed and get up for Monday morning. So that was our lives. Of course, our social life revolved around the church also. A pivotal time for me in my spiritual journey was when Pastor Hauser did a winter class. So we'd meet Saturday mornings, and it was called Bible Instruction Class. And what it was a survey of the entire Bible with an emphasis of the promises of the coming Savior in the Old Testament. And then, of course, the story of Jesus, his life and his teachings and establishment of the church afterwards. And at the end of that, we had the opportunity to sign up for baptism. And so I signed up for that, gave my my account of my spiritual life short testimony before the church congregation. Pastor Hauser baptized me. So that was a pivotal part of my life. So I developed a passion for some things that I loved to do when I was a kid. One of them was shooting rifles. Another was riding motorcycles. When we were in Minnesota, little town of Mountain Lake, I had a pellet rifle. And I was allowed to roam the town wherever I wanted, shooting things. No supervision. I had a couple friends who were the sons of the one dentist in town, the Pinner boys. So the Pinner boys and I would roam the town, and one of our favorite targets was pigeons. And there were always pigeons around, so I'd shoot a pigeon, and we found out about this old lady that apparently was quite poor in town, ramshackle house, and I would proudly take my pigeon to her, and she was delighted. She ate them. She ate pigeons. And so that was my ministry to the poor.
Yeah.
You might say. So that was cool. And then also the Pinner boys and I started hunting and trapping.
Wow.
Our own little business. So for a 13-line ground squirrel, we'd get a dime or 15 cents from whatever landowner. And for a pocket gopher, it was a quarter, 25 cents. So this was, 1958, 59. And we would turn around and invest our profits in ammunition and traps. And I mean, it was for a third grader. I was a third grader. This was heavy stuff. You know, I felt like a big game hunter. Yeah, trapper, first grader.
Yeah, there you go.
Except we didn't keep the first place. So anyway, fast forward, we're in Colorado. And we're out in the country, out on 76th. They call it Longsview Estates back in the day. Lots of countryside around. I would, again, roam around with my pellet rifle. I did get myself in big trouble once upon a time. It was so much fun to shoot my pellet rifle at the rear end of the local cattle and see their response. Anyway, the farmer found out about this, and I was in deep doo-doo. I was in deep trouble. Despite this, surprisingly, my parents gave me a .22 rifle for Christmas when I was 11. You know, going after, well, not bigger game than a cow, but anyway, I loved it.
Yeah.
Roaming the countryside. And, you know, I don't remember ever seeing any no trespassing signs back then. Nobody cared. We went all over the place and had a great time. Wonderful times. Later on, I bought my first big game rifle, age 13, with money earned by pulling weeds and mowing grass and whatnot. Sometime after that, I'm in high school, sophomore, as I recall, Boulder High, and I get my first motorcycle. And I had about 10 minutes of instruction on the thing. And I can't believe it, looking back, that my parents allowed me to do that. But I was turned loose with that motorcycle. A couple of months later, less than a month, weeks later, I'm riding that motorcycle from Boulder all the way up to Jamestown. I had a summer job in Jamestown. So I'm riding that bike as a 15-year-old up to Jamestown. I had to earn money to pay my dad back for the motorcycle. And it was a miracle. I only ended up in the ER one time, only once. And I got an asphalt tattoo on one of my knees to remind me about that experience. But I thank God. I know he protected me.
Right.
I don't know how many times I ran. I just blew through stop signs or stop lights. And like, is that a stop sign back there? Anyway, a lot of close calls. And of course, I just shrugged that off and keep going. And to this day, I love shooting. Mostly I love hunting and shooting. And it turned into archery after a while, but and motorcycles. Have a good time with that. Steve, are you awake back there?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Just want to make sure I'm not too boring. So moving on. I wish I could say that I was walking closely with Jesus through my high school years and university years. I still claim Jesus as my savior and maintain contact with church, going to church all the time. My friends were with church, and eventually I met a woman at church, Fort Collins. We married a week after graduation. And things went well for quite a while. Get into dental school and pretty much stopped going to church during that time, which was not good. 4 years in the Army, dental officer in the Army. During that time, actually, we had a resurgence of our faith during that time. It was wonderful. It's in the Bible all the time, just loved it. Got out of the Army. established private practice in Boulder, Colorado, right here. Some mutual friends introduced me to Dr. Jay Swartzwelder. I don't know if anybody knows that name. But I went to work with Jay over on Mohawk Drive. There's a big Kaiser building there now. And Christian guy, wonderful guy, taught me a lot about life, a lot about dentistry. So that was a blessing from the Lord. Getting out of the Army, life became difficult. There were challenges in getting established in practice and, you know, buying a house and all of that stuff. And my wife and I began to have tension between the two of us. And we continued to go to church together. But things gradually went from bad to worse. She eventually stopped going to church with me. Now it sounded like I'm blaming her for everything. No, not at all. So I take the kids to church, and then there was a separation. 3.5 years separation. I entered a very difficult time in my life. Very difficult. Wasn't easy to hold it all together, actually. So I got reacquainted with my Bible, you might say. I was in the Word constantly. I'd be out walking a lot by myself. I'd carry these things, Navigator memory verses. And that was my constant focus. I was at church every chance I could get, and hanging out with my Christian buddies. That helped me maintain my sanity, frankly, dealing with depression, meeting with loyal Christian friends, Steve Debo, one of them. Divorce finalized after 3.5 years. I didn't want it. She did. Difficult 2 days in court. I mean, this was just brutal. It was brutal. Healing. Maybe a year and a half, 2 years later, I met this woman at Rocky Mount Christian Church, and we began to hang out together. We had common interests, plus we were attracted to each other. She was able to hold her own on the hiking trails, you might say. We were spending more and more time together. Let me go back a little bit. A few years later, when I was in the middle of separation, one of the things that I really enjoyed was hiking the mountains with my teenage son, Ryan. So one day we found ourselves on top of Mount Lindsay down in southern Colorado, Fort Keener down there, over near Mount Blanca and Little Bear Peak and that group of peaks down there, Sangre de Cristo Mountains. And so we're on top of that mountain, and it was a glorious experience. We were looking down to the east on some of the most beautiful country in Colorado, all private land. The Forbes Trinchera Ranch, and actually Mount Lindsay is on the Forbes Trinchera Ranch, huge ranch down there. And I knew what it was, and I knew that there was a fabulous elk herd down there. Basically reserved for rich people that could go down there and hire guides and spend thousands upon thousands of dollars. I looked at that, and I distinctly remember breathing a prayer, an impossible prayer request. Something like, Lord, I'd love to someday be able to hang out in that country, roam that country, and hunt elk. Impossible, great. Anyway, so back to dating Judy. It wasn't too long before we knew that we were meant for each other. She would talk about a family cabin and just kind of a vague location down in southern Colorado somewhere. Finally, I found out exactly where it was. You can guess where it was, right? An old mining claim that her grandfather had established many, many years ago, built a cabin on there. Forbes Trinchero Ranch. You look up, there's Mount Lindsay.
Awesome.
So, anyway, sorry, get a little emotional.
Sure.
Even after all that, I mean, it was clear the Lord had brought us together. We didn't get married until 2.5 years later. It took me a long time. I was scared of the thought. Plus, you had three little girls. One, the youngest, still in diapers at that point, and the oldest, 7 years old, 6 or 7 years old. It's like, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know. Finally, the Lord made it clear after I almost lost her. And so we were married in 1999, and great blessing, great blessing. But not easy. This was not easy. Having a blended family, so now we have five kids together, and a lot going on. And through it all, God has been so gracious. Way beyond what I deserved, obviously. So at this point, of course, five kids together, eight grandkids, and God is good.
Amen.
So, any questions? Bob.
Of course, I knew Jay Swartzwalter.
Yeah.
You know,
he was your dentist, right?
And he had the audacity to die with me, you know, and I was supposed to go anyway.
Yeah. Jay was quite a guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never asked him, but I'll ask you, what took you into dentistry?
Well, the Pinner boys that I mentioned back in Mountain Lake, their dad was the dentist in town. They had a rather nice lifestyle. One of the nicer houses in town. And I was impressed with Dr. Pinner. We'd hang out with the family a lot and enjoyed the boys. The three of us had a grand time. I mean, that 6 months in Mountain Lake, even though it was hard on my parents, was great for me. And anyway, that probably stuck in my mind a little bit. And this is a strange thing, but many years later, we moved out of Mountain Lake, 1959, moved to Boulder. And so I'm getting ready to go into fourth grade. So that, I didn't maintain contact with them. But years later, somehow I found out my two buddies that I used to be in business with became dentists.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know, followed in their father's footsteps. And of course, I became a dentist. So there was that. Bible instruction days were on Saturdays at Calvary Bible there, Broadway at Balsam. Back in those days, and across the street, there was a dental office. My mother worked at that dental office. I'd get out of Bible instruction class and I go hang out with my mom until she was done working and poke around a little bit, and it seemed interesting. Something that might explain a lot is that I'd take the mercury container. Back then, you had mercury and you had the alloy, and you grind, do this in a mortar and pestle, combine the mercury to the alloy. Anyway, so there's this silvery liquid in that, in a container there. And remember spilling it out, just watching it scatter across the floor. So, you know, if I'm losing my wits, maybe that part of it. So that's part of it. There are a couple of things.
Where are your brothers at, Wayne?
My brothers, so there were five of us. We lost one of them. You might remember that, my brother David. Youngest brothers, two twins, and David had some struggles, got in trouble with the law, started doing marijuana, one day skipped school, and he was with his friends, and he was playing with a revolver, and it went off, killed him. So anyway. And then my brother Dan ended up in South Dakota, and still is there in the summer, and he's down in Tucson now. My brother Will is in Buena Vista, and Warren Longmont.
Very good.
They're busy with their lives, all of that. And we're the best friends. Love my brothers.
True.
Yeah.
Do we still have that 22 you got when you were 11?
Still have it.
Awesome.
And I still have that first big game of rifle. Maybe we're going to get to use it here this fall, huh? Yeah. Got to get your leg going. Carrie?
Did you say you guys hunted gophers? About prairie dogs.
So, yeah, no prairie dogs that I remember in Minnesota. You know, they probably would have gotten drowned over there. But prairie dogs in Colorado, yeah. My happiest memories was when I was able to get close enough and pop a big fat prairie dog. And, of course, we let everything lay, you know, walk away and I'm sure the local coyotes like that.
Yeah,
they cleaned up for us.
For your older types, I don't remember East Campus now. It used to be there the sea baseball field, and then there was just massive fields going east.
Yeah,
and that was guys went out there. It was these are the golf range,
right?
They golf all the time. We go out there and beat, you know, have a little bay and balls.
Yeah.
We go out to Flatiron at night and fish the lakes for balls and get out.
Yeah.
And the goal, you know, it was just completely covered with prairie.
Yeah. Yeah.
So occasionally you lose the ball down a hole, but the goal, we use them as targets.
Yeah.
Love it.
A couple of questions. One, what is the difference with regards to Mennonite faith as opposed to other Protestant faiths?
So I don't have any idea where they are now. There are different divisions of that. But back then, my memory was the big thing is that they didn't believe in military service or picking up arms. They were conscientious objectors, basically. Yeah, and you know, my experience first 8 years probably a bit on the legalistic side of things. Still, I got some good things from that background. And yeah,
the next question was, is the Calvary Baptist that you went to the same one that's here in town now?
Calvary Bible,
Calvary Bible,
yeah. Over there by the cemetery. Yeah. Same one. Yeah.
The Hauser's son was at Calvary for years.
Yeah, Dan.
Dan and I think
Dan and I graduated both by the same year, 68. And
when the Colberts just came in behind
right.
Mr. Hauser.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
So, George has a long history.
I got one more. When when people have, you know, extremely difficult circumstances and stuff like that, what happens to our faith? You know, what happened to your faith during, you know, difficult times?
That drove me to.
It drove you to.
To Jesus. I mean, it was a matter of survival. This was a lifeline for me. Absolutely.
Let's give Young Wayne some thoughts, a big round of applause.
Thanks, guys.